The light of God shines in the darkness, and the darkness will never overcome it. Good morning. My name is Avril, and I welcome all of you who are listening to this service. I hope that you and your families are all well, and that you will find this service a comfort in this time of lockdown. As we gather, we affirm the diversity of our community, represented in age, gender, sexuality, culture, and ability. We affirm that all people are welcome and trust that you will find this to be a safe place for you to grow in God's love and the experience of a warm community. We are committed to loving God, growing together, partnering community, and sharing faith. We remember the original custodians of this land, the Wadawurrung, and ask for God's grace to join with them in being good stewards of this land, its waters, and diverse communities. The world belongs to God, the earth and all its peoples. Love and peace come together. Justice and peace join hands. How good and how lovely it is to live together in unity. If the Lord's disciples keep silent, these stones would shout aloud, "Lord, open our lips, and our mouths shall proclaim your praise." Let us confess our sins to Almighty God. Let us pray. Merciful God, our Maker and our Judge, We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbours as ourselves. We repent and are sorry for all our sins. Father, forgive us. Strengthen us to love and obey you in newness of life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Those who are in Christ are a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ. Hear then Christ's word of grace to us. Your sins are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Today our Bible reading comes from the Hebrew Scriptures, from the book of Genesis, and I'm reading from chapter 18, verses 1 to 15, and chapter 21, verses 1 to 7. The Lord appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre, as he sat at the entrance of his tent in the heat of the day. He looked up and saw three men standing near him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent entrance to meet them and bowed down to the ground. He said, "My Lord, if I find favour with you, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought, and wash your feet, and rest yourself under the tree. Let me bring a little bread, that you may refresh yourselves, and after that you may pass on, since you have come to your servant." So they said, "Do as you have said." And Abraham hastened into the tent to Sarah and said, "Make ready quickly 3 measures of choice flour, knead it and make cakes." Abraham ran to the herd and took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to the servant, who hastened to prepare it. Then he took curds and milk and the calf that he had prepared and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree while they ate. They said to him, "Where is your wife Sarah?" And he said, "There, in the tent." Then one said, "I will surely return to you in due season, and your wife Sarah will have a son." And Sarah was listening at the tent entrance behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in age. It had ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. So Sarah laughed to herself, saying, "After I have grown old and my husband is old, shall I have pleasure?" The Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Shall I indeed bear a son now that I am old?' Is anything too wonderful for the Lord? At the set time I will return to you in due season, and Sarah shall have a son." But Sarah denied it, saying, "I did not laugh," for she was afraid. He said, "Oh yes, you did laugh." The Lord dealt with Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had promised. Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age, at the time of which the Lord had spoken to him. Abraham gave the name Isaac to his son whom Sarah bore him. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. Now Sarah said, "God has brought laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh with me." And she said, "Who would ever have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age." For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us, thanks be to God. The picture book I'm reading today is called Each Kindness, and it was written by Jacqueline Woodson and illustrated by E.B. Lewis. So the same people who created The Other Side, which I read last week. That winter, snow fell on everything, turning the world a brilliant white. One morning, as we settled into our seats, The classroom door opened and the principal came in. She had a girl with her and she said to us, "This is Maya." Maya looked down at the floor. I think I heard her whisper, "Hello." We all stared at her. Her coat was open and the clothes beneath it looked old and ragged. Her shoes were spring shoes, not meant for the snow. A strap on one of them had broken. Our teacher, Ms. Albert, said, "Say good morning to our new student." But most of us were silent. The only empty seat was next to me. That's where our teacher put Maya. And on that first day, Maya turned to me and smiled. But I didn't smile back. I moved my chair, myself, and my books a little farther away from her. When she looked my way, I turned to the window and stared out at the snow. And every day after that, when Maya came into the classroom, I looked away and didn't smile back. My best friends that year were Kendra and Sophie. At lunchtime, we walked around the schoolyard, our fingers laced together, whispering secrets into each other's ears. One day, when we were near the slide, Maya came over to us. She held open her hand to show us the shiny jacks and tiny red ball she'd gotten for her birthday. "It's a high bouncer," she said. But none of us wanted to play. So Maya played a game against herself. That afternoon, when we got back into the classroom, Maya whispered to me, "Bet you can't guess who the new jacks champion of the world is." Behind me, Andrew whispered, "Chloe's got a new friend, Chloe's got a new friend." "She's not my friend," I whispered back. The weeks passed. Every day we whispered about Maya, laughing at her clothes, her shoes, the strange food she brought for lunch. Sometimes Maya held out her hand to show us what she brought to school. A deck of cards, pick-up sticks, a small, tattered doll. Whenever she asked us to play, we said no. The days grew warmer and warmer. The pond thawed. Grass began growing where snow had once been. One day, Maya came to school wearing a pretty dress and fancy shoes. But the shoes and the dress looked like they'd belonged to another girl before Maya. "I have a new name for her," Kendra whispered. "Never knew. Everything she has comes from a second-hand store." We all laughed. Maya stood by the fence. She was holding a jump rope, but did not come over to us to ask if we wanted to play. After a while, she folded it double, rolled the ends around each hand, and started jumping. She jumped around the whole schoolyard without stopping. She didn't look up once. Just jumped, jumped, jumped. The next day, Maya's seat was empty. In class that morning, we were talking about kindness. Ms. Albert had brought a big bowl into class and filled it with water. We all gathered around her desk and watched her drop a small stone into it. Tiny waves rippled out away from the stone. "This is what kindness does," Ms. Albert said. "Every little thing we do goes out like a ripple into the world." Then Ms. Albert let us each drop the stone in as we told her what kind things we had done. Joseph had held the door for his grandmother. Kendra helped change her baby brother's nappy. Even mean old Andrew had done something. "I carried teacher's books up the stairs," he said. And Ms. Albert said it was true. I stood there, holding Ms. Albert's rock in my hand, silent. "Even small things count," Ms. Albert said gently. But I couldn't think of anything and passed the stone on. Maya didn't come to school the next day or the day after that. Each morning I walked to school slowly, hoping this would be the day Maya returned and she'd look at me and smile. I promised myself this would be the day I smiled back. Each kindness, Ms. Albert had said, makes the whole world a little bit better. But Maya's seat remained empty. And one day, Ms. Albert announced to the class that Maya wouldn't be coming back. Her family had to move away, Ms. Albert said. Then she told us to take out our notebooks. It was time for spelling. That afternoon, I walked home alone. When I reached the pond, my throat filled with all the things I wished I would have said to Maya. Each kindness I had never shown. I threw small stones into it, over and over, watching the way the water rippled out and away, like each kindness, done and not done, like every girl somewhere holding a small gift out to someone, and that someone turning away from it. I watched the water ripple as the sun set through the maples, and the chance of a kindness with Maya became more and more, forever gone. The end.
I will sing a song of love to the one who first loved me, and I'll sing it as a child of God who is named and known and free. For the love of God is good, it is broad and deep and long, and above all else that matters, God is worthy of my song. And I will not sing alone, but with earth and sky and sea, for creation raised its voice well in advance of me. I will sing a song of it is broad and deep and long, and above all else.
Is anything too wonderful for the Lord? It's the question that the three visitors ask Abraham after his wife Sarah laughs at the promise that she and Abraham will have a son in their extreme old age. Today's story tells us that nothing is too wonderful for the Lord, not even the birth of a son to a woman and her husband who have grown old. Is anything too wonderful for the Lord? Tens of thousands of people marched last weekend against racism and the state-sanctioned killing of black people. The protests started with the murder of George Floyd by the police in Minneapolis, but the thousands who marched in Australia were remembering the more than 400 Indigenous Australians who have died in custody since the end of the Royal Commission into Aboriginal deaths in custody. Australia is still a land built on genocide, a land without a treaty, a land in which First Nations men are 15 times more likely to be imprisoned than other Australians, and First Nations women are 21 times more likely to be in custody than other women. Australia is a country that has not yet come to terms with its racist past, or indeed its racist present. Will it ever be able to? Is anything too wonderful for the Lord? The story of Abraham and Sarah is the story of outstanding faith. But that doesn't mean that Abraham and Sarah never doubted God, never wondered about whether God's promises would come true. And in today's reading, we're shown one of their moments of disbelief. The story begins with the Lord as three men, appearing to Abraham in the heat of the day. And the really important part of this story is the hospitality, as Abraham runs from his tent to greet them and begs them as a favour to allow him to offer them hospitality. He offers them a little bread to refresh themselves, but he then asks Sarah to make cakes of choice flour and has his servant prepare a tender and good calf. And he himself offers the calf with curds and milk and stands by the men as they eat, acting as a servant for them. While the food is being prepared, the Lord reiterates to Abraham the promise that has been made several times before, the promise that Abraham and Sarah will have a son. And this is where Abraham's amazing hospitality falters, because hospitality isn't just about providing refreshment and welcome. It's also about making room for the word of God to be heard and understood. And Sarah and Abraham fail that particular demand of hospitality. Abraham and Sarah are old. Abraham has had a son, Ishmael, by Hagar, but the son of Sarah has not appeared. And so when the Lord, having first made sure that Sarah is within earshot, promises a son to Abraham, Sarah laughs, disbelievingly, derisively. After I have grown old and my husband is old, shall I have pleasure? The last time the Lord made this promise to Abraham, when instituting the covenant marked by circumcision, Abraham also mocked the idea. Can a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? Can Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? And Abraham then asked that instead Ishmael might live in the Lord's sight. The Lord knows what Sarah is thinking. He asks Abraham about it, and then Sarah does what any of us would do, and she denies it. No, no, she didn't laugh. But she did. She and Abraham, who are our ancestors in the faith and our role models of faithful trust in the promises of God, neither of them believes that the Lord will give them a son. Abraham is more than a century old. Sarah is well and truly menopausal. And yet the Lord asks them, is anything too wonderful for the Lord? Well, Sarah and Abraham do have a son, and he is named Isaac, which means he laughs. His name will always remind them of their derisive laughter at the promise of God. But Isaac also refers to the joy, the wonder, the elation, and the happy laughter that comes with his birth. God is gracious and has kept his promise. In this case, indeed, nothing has been too wonderful for God to do. So do we believe that nothing is too wonderful for the Lord to do? That there's no deepest desire of our hearts that God cannot fulfill? It's a question that continues to be asked down the ages. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus himself prayed, "Abba, Father, for you all things are possible." But he ended his prayer with, "Not what I want, but what you want." In Gethsemane, Jesus showed the faith in God that accepted no as an answer to his prayer. But later, on the cross, in the face of that no, Mark tells us that Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Like Abraham and Sarah, whose faith in God we see to be flawed, on the cross, Jesus himself, God with us, felt abandoned by God. And yet Isaac is born, and crucifixion is followed by resurrection. Is anything too wonderful for the Lord? Is there hope? Could racism and white supremacy end? Of course. This week, George Floyd was buried. And talking about his funeral, philosopher Dr. Cornel West told the CNN journalist Anderson Cooper, "We've got a love that the world can't take away. White supremacy may make being black a crime, but we refuse to get in the gutter. We're doing it for the whole world, because that's the only hope of the world. And that kind of love is always tragicomic and cruciform. You got to get ready to get crucified with that kind of love. And you have to keep dishing it out generation after generation after generation." And we see that same sort of love here in Australia, as First Nations people invite the rest of us over and over again to walk with them. In their response to the apology of the Assembly, the UAICC said to us, "We come to this covenanting table with our gifts of Aboriginal spirituality, our culture, our Aboriginal way of loving and caring, our instinctive concern and a willingness to share and teach our history and every good aspect about being Aboriginal and Islander." And the final line of the Uluru Statement from the Heart is, "We invite you to walk with us in a movement of the Australian people for a better future." Again and again, the First Peoples of Australia welcome those of us who are Second Peoples. Again and again, they offer us friendship. So is there hope for change, for an end to racism? Of course, there is not merely hope, there is an invitation. And as Christians, those who gather around the table at which Jesus is the host, we know what to do when we receive an invitation. We accept it. Amen. We're going to say together a statement of faith, and this one comes from the United Church of Canada. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to live with respect in creation, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope. In life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. And let us bring our prayers to God. Let us pray. Loving God, we know that nothing can separate us from you. Continue to surround us with your love during this time of crisis. Be with every member of the Western Heights community. Continue to give us the courage, the patience, and the kindness we need as isolation stretches on. Reassure us that we are still gathered together through you, even when we cannot meet. We pray for all those who have kept working in the community through this crisis, all the medical staff, the emergency services workers, the supermarket employees and freight workers, those who found new ways of working from home, those who are now slowly and carefully returning to work. We pray for those who have lost their jobs, who are facing an uncertain future. We pray for the homeless and those in insecure housing, and for those whose homes have not been safe places during this time of lockdown. We pray for our leaders, for Scott Morrison and Daniel Andrews, and for Chief Medical Officers Brendan Murphy and Brett Sutton. As we begin the steps that will take us out of lockdown, give them your wisdom and help them to make the best decisions, not the ones that are politically expedient. Loving God, we know that we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually we are members one of another. Help us to continue to be that one body in this difficult time. In the name of your Son, our Lord, Mother and Friend, Jesus Christ, who taught us when we pray to say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Christ attend you, the love of God surround you, the Holy Spirit keep you, this day and forever. Amen.